Wow. 22 years ago, on Halloween night, how fitting, I drove a bus down from I-10. They were just developing that road, so the whole way on the bus, I was just like, where are we going? Where is this place? Because we had just come from California, and you know, California is beautiful, and we made our way across. We picked one of the truck stops up near Tucson to sleep that night, and then the next morning we got up, and we headed into this place called Sierra Vista, Arizona. Now, the thing about it is, I kept on asking Donnie McGuire. Donnie wanted me to tell you hello this morning. Yay. He did. And how many people remember Donnie? Remember Donnie? And remember little Israel? Okay, he's about that tall now. Looks exactly like his grandfather, Buck Rambo. Looks exactly like he did. They're ministering in Detroit this morning. Actually, they're watching the Cowboys play the Detroit Lions. They texted me. I was on the plane last night, and all of a sudden I got this text. And Donnie and Israel are crazy Cowboy fans, as am I. It's a sacrifice to be here this morning because with the time change, I'm going to be talking to you while they're playing. So you know how much I love you. But they texted me last night, and they said, hey, we're in Detroit for the game. I said, that's really cool. They said, no, what's really cool is out of nowhere we had this compelling feeling to make a reservation at this certain steakhouse. And it's a place that you normally can't get into without a long time. But they got in with their reservation, and they got seated and started to eat. And about 5 minutes later, three big buses pulled in, and it was the Dallas Cowboys. He texted me. He said, if I'm not spelling words right, it's because I'm writing fast because I'm excited. And he goes, I am 15 feet away from Jason Witten. This man is massive. I wrote him back. I said, go hit him on the shoulder and touch him. Tell him quit dropping balls. You know, I got a little bit of the thing with the Dallas Cowboys because one time I got to go to training camp and got to meet back in the day, back when they were good. Real good. I got to go to training camp, and through the favor of the Lord, that was back when Troy Aikman was throwing the ball, and Emmett Smith, and a guy named Michael Irvin. And Troy Aikman would only sign, some of you have heard this, but there's a lot of people here that have no idea. And why are you talking about the Cowboys? Because I like to talk about the faithfulness of God. Because God said that he would give you the desires of your heart. And if you're a father and you know you like to go through stores and things like that, and if your kids see something, you want to bless them, you want to help them. So there's different times that the Lord will do the different, just little things to let me know that he loves me. And as far as the word of God says, that he is no respecter of persons, one of the coolest scriptures in all the Bible, because that means what he did for me, he'll do for you. Amen? That's the coolest, one of the coolest scriptures, that he is not a respecter of persons, but that he loves us. So anyway, through some favor, a man gave me one of the Troy Aikman autograph passes, and I'm standing in a gated-off area with a bunch of 5 to 9-year-olds. And I was 27 at the time when that happened. So he just kind of looked at me, and he said, how did you get in here? And I was like, listen, man, I got a ball, and I got a pen. Sign it. He was gracious. He just shrugged his shoulder and gave me the ball. And but out in the field, I saw Michael Irvin, and you know, everybody know Michael Irvin. If you've watched the football stuff, I really wanted to meet him, but unless I was going to risk prison, there was no way, because he was way out there, and you could not get out there. The thousands of people at camp that day, so I was just like, well, maybe someday. Well, the Lord opened a door for me very shortly after I was sent out from Donnie and Reba. I got an invitation. It's funny, I was washing my van over at my mother-in-law's house. Gloria, stand up, wave at everybody. Everybody knows Gloria Drexa. So, hey, I got to give her props because she's one of the few people I know in the United States that actually listens to what their pastor says. No, this is very, let me take a rabbit trail. Pastor asked me last night, he says, you have a certain message you're going to do? And I was like, nah. I got to wait till I get into the atmosphere. and look into people's eyes. Whoa. And I saw you up on screen. Give me a hand. You look good. You look good. But back in the day when Gloria was going through a divorce and she had, you know, Sabrina and had David, the most logical thing in the world, the logical thing was to go back to San Diego, wasn't it, Gloria? The logical thing was to go back to San Diego. Why? Because you always hear this, I need family support. It means you need free babysitting. That's what it means. And but she was here, and she counseled with Pastor Joseph. And this had to have been the Lord, because this is not a guy that will tell anybody how to run their life. You're supposed to listen and go for it. And he looked and said, Gloria, I really feel that you need to stay here in Sierra Vista and just let Shiloh surround you, let us help you, and we'll just all trust God together. Well, I'm very thankful I did that, because later I showed up. And in those meetings, the little girl that she stayed around with, Sabrina, grew up. And the Lord spoke to me in the midst of that revival in the 12th week of the meeting while I was sitting on the drums. Glory to God. It's the normal 10%. The Lord spoke to me and says, do you see that girl? And I was like, I'm not blind, Lord. I've been noticing her for a while. And he said, well, that's going to be your wife. And she ended up being my wife. And now it's 20 years later. Amen. So thankful for a woman that will listen to her pastor. And that's a lesson to all of you. Don't make a move. Don't make a move until you know it's the right thing. Not just a physical move, but a church move, department move, a leadership move. You know, well, that's a lot of trouble. Yeah, it's a lot of trouble if you do the wrong thing. Amen. Not a man of God say this to me. 90% of life's heartaches can be missed if you simply obey God. 10% you're going to walk through. You're just going to walk through, and those can be some very hefty 10%. 10% can be crucial, but why add to the load? Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Why add to the load? So let's obey God. Amen? Yeah. Let's obey God, even when it doesn't feel like it. And most of the time, guess what? It's not going to feel great to your flesh to obey God. Amen? Right. It's not going to feel great, but man, the rewards that come about. And all of a sudden, you're going to retrain your mind that when he does tell you something that goes against what you might feel, you're going to know from experience and also the joy of the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord, it's the reason I love to sing joy to the world, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And every time you obey God, joy pours into your heart. Every time. When you obey God and do what he's called you to, something happens in the heart. And it's just like he just like, you know, pops the top and some joy into your spirit, and you feel strong. You're like, you know, the next time I need to deny myself, I'm going to deny myself because I end up with joy. Right. Amen? So, you know, joy is a result of obedience. You can write that down because that's good. That's right. Joy, so if you run into somebody that's a sourpuss, guess what? It's when you need to ask them, have you been obeying God? Well, I just feel depressed and I'm getting bad. Did you obey? What's the last thing God told you to do? Did you do it?
Oh, wow.
The kingdom of God. Don't worry, I haven't forgot the Dallas Cowboys. I'll never forget. But the kingdom of God is within you. There, Proverbs 4, I think it's 18 or 13. It says, hold fast to instruction, for it's your life. So the way I get this is you got to learn how things go. I was telling this to Pastor earlier. You got to learn how to get on the good side of how things work. Get on the good side. Don't complain about it. Well, why does the sun have to come up in the east? I wouldn't spend much time there. Well, why does it go down in the west? I wouldn't spend a lot of time there. It just does. Summer happens, and then right after summer, guess what's going to happen? Fall. And then after fall, what happens? To think it's not would be naive. What's going to happen after spring this year, Mildred? We all know what's going to happen after. It's going to get cold. We got people operating in seasons in ways that they're not supposed to operate. Baby, you're trying to wear that bikini in the middle of the winter. You're wearing a heavy coat. You understand what I'm saying? Know your seasons. For 6,500 years, this is how things have gone. To complain about it is a little foolish. Here's a good thing. This is not a part of our religion, but it is another one. If you get your own planet, you can arrange this whole deal the way you want. You got seed and you got soil, which produces a harvest. So you better make sure that you take your springtime and do what you're supposed to do with it. Then we got people that are looking in the heart. When October comes around, they're like, I'm believing, I'm believing. You're believing for what? You didn't play anything. Well, you know, God's going to be, yeah, God adheres to his word. It's stupid for a guy that's a farmer to look at the rest of his farmers. When they were out, he went to the beach while they were out planting their seed. But yet he's down there looking for, something's coming up. God, something got to come up. Something has got to come up. No, it doesn't. Because spring, seed time, harvest. If you didn't plan anything, and get out of your mind money, it does work that way with money, but it works that way with actions. It works that way with attitudes. It works that way with relationships. It works that way. I get tired of hearing this thing in church. Well, nobody hugged me. Did you? I didn't come out here to be mean to you. Not much, anyway. Sean, it's good to see you. I have no jokes about the Fowler.
I appreciate that.
All right. Only God said he would deliver you from the Fowler. I love them. But know your season. Know where God is working with you. Get the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I have a friend of mine. He's a pastor. He's got a big old chunk of lead on his desk. And when people come in and say, well, I'm feeling led to do this, he goes, well, there it is. Feel led. Because, guys, the promotion is wonderful. I believe in promotion. I believe in moving. I've lived everywhere twice. God's taken us a lot of places, but it's at the word of the Lord. You don't come to the United States from Canada unless it's the word of the Lord. And even when it is the word of the Lord, the border closes. At least it closes for somebody. Do you know that story? I was a part of their wedding, standing up here, and he's up on the screen taking vows with her that's standing right there. And then after thing was over, he had this really nice top tuxedo thing going on, tie. And then he stood up and he was wearing Nike shorts. That's a man who knows his season. It's a great thing. See, God will let certain things happen. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Do you want to get through? I'm getting through. I'm breaking through. I am getting through to that woman. There's something about it. It's just like my wife. I can be dead tired. I can be dead tired and start, and I've got an 8-hour flight ahead of me. I can be on the other side of the world and start thinking about my wife, little girl that she kept here, grew up, and I got to see her. Yeehaw, got married, 3 kids, 22 years later, and I still have that special thing that just happens as a man that you're like, I can't wait to get home. I feel strengthened. I feel the joy of the Lord. Can't wait to see my wife. You're going to do whatever it takes to get to your wife. You're going to do whatever it takes to break through. Amen? Some of the men are like, yeah, man, yeah. So anyway, know your season. Know what God's wanting to do. Follow the Holy Spirit. It's very important as men that we don't just move, because especially when we have children, you got to have the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Because just maybe one of your daughters or maybe one of your sons is going to roll in 25 years later on a bus for a revival, and that is why you stayed all those years, for that connection. Man, I feel the power of God so strong. Going to think, what do you mean you feel the power of God? You want me to do it in English? I feel the power of God. I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit when I say that. Because in January, I got to watch that little girl whose home had broken up, who stayed in Shiloh, and her mother kept faithful and kept her under the anointing. Glory to God. I got to sit back on a boat in January on the Sea of Galilee and watch her preach. Got on the boat and she says, "What are we going to do?" I said, "You see that place right there? I'm going to go sit and you're going to preach." And she went, "What?" She goes, "You're going to preach." And man, she preached. What was funny was is somebody took a picture of her preaching. Now, the thing that's funny is the crew that makes little things and does little things has a tip jar. And she preached in front of the tip jar. And somebody took a picture and put it on Facebook. And all of a sudden, I start to get this ding on my phone. One pastor from San Antonio, he goes, "Hey, Tim, throw a buck in for me." And I was like, "What?" He goes, "Dude, check the picture on Facebook." I looked, and there it was, $1, you know, tips. So she's preaching for tips, you know. I said, "Man, it's expensive to do these trips. We need help, you know." It was just so funny. But you know what? She preached. She did. Because when I first came here, I was a singer. I wanted nothing to... Where are you going? To take my picture? Oh. Sometimes it falls out. You got to crank it back in. You know? For those of you who have known me for a long time, I'm 49. I'm 49 years old. I know I don't look it. I'm 49. But Sabrina's 3 months older than I am. So she's dreading it. "I'm going to be 50 and you're still going to be in your 40s. I said, "Ain't it great? Ain't it great, baby?" But yeah, so we're thankful that Gloria was able to understand and perceive, take hold, fast hold of instruction. Because it's not to hold you back. It's to set you up to be released in strength and in power and to operate in the 10% blessing instead of the 90% curse of disobedience. So hold steady. Do what the Lord's telling you to do. You don't just come here to show off your greatest outfit and to warm a seat. You come here to see the chains fall as you worship the Lord and to get the word of the Lord from this man. So that you can, yeah, you can clap, it's all good. You can take that information because this stuff works outside this building. It all works outside this building. Three of you, that's awesome. God, it was worth breaking through the barrier, right? Got all kinds of kids now. You guys don't even wait for normal time. You just have a family. It's just. I remember standing on one of those nights of whatever we did. It's a revival night. I forget what I titled the thing. I'm standing right here, and you guys are standing right there. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "Tell them that I'm going to give them a desire of their heart within the next 4 months." Well, I start thinking, 4 months. That can't be a kid. Unless you're going to, because God has set things in order of how certain things happen. And usually a kid takes 9 months to bake. Easy bake oven. But almost to the day, 4 months later, you had Hazel right there. And the thing about it is, that kid looks like she could have come from you and come from you. See, that's the thing. I don't go by logic. You can't go by logic. There's great places that build churches that have a lot of people. Might not be led real heavily by the Holy Spirit, but it's packed in with a lot of people. We want things that's packed in and led by the Holy Spirit. That's right. Amen? Plenty of golf clubs out there. We need churches that are packed full of people, that are full of the power of God, and understand how things work. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. Amen? One of the things is that if you just sow and believe in due season, you will reap if you... I was looking to see if you knew the scripture, dude. You didn't say it back to me. Go back to the fourth row. Now, this kid right here, stand up. During revival, this little kid would come up. Looks exactly the same, just smaller. Bigger, I mean. I'm playing the drums, and if I would break a stick, if you ever break a stick as a drummer, you understand that you have a weapon now. It's like a charred edge, and you could scarp you. And he always, you could see him when I would break something playing, you would always see him in the crowd go, that is mine, I declare in the name of Jesus. That stick is mine in the name of Jesus. And that kid would follow me around. Can I have that stick? Can I have that stick? Hey, can I have that? Do you still have them? That's weird. Anyway, that's. Can I have that stick? And I was like, yeah, I guess. I mean, I'd have to go over to Tamara and be like, I just gave a weapon. So you just. But God's faithful to his word. If you sow in due season, you'll reap. And that's with desires. If you'll take care of that which belongs to another man, God will give you that which is your own. Amen. And he will bless you. Remember, I'm trying to see Michael Irvin at the Dallas Cowboys camp. I wanted to see Michael Irvin, but I couldn't have, because God wanted to arrange it where it would be a lesson. So, over at Gloria's house, should I give out your address? Okay. Over at Gloria's house, at that time, we had a beautiful conversion van that God had given us to be able to travel, and it was gorgeous. Choo-choo customs thing, it was way beyond anything that I thought that we would ever have. And God just blessed us with it. I'm washing it. Now, at that time, AT&T, kind of like now, they never get a signal anywhere. So here in Sierra Vista, for some reason, I had my phone on me, though, while I was washing the van. Had a hat turned around, just my shorts on, no shirt. Looked a lot better back then. And I was washing my van, and a phone call ringing. I'm like, that's weird. And it was from Dallas. And it was Bishop Jake's personal assistant and said, would you like to come and be Bishop Jake's soloist for his pastors and leaders conference? And I was like, huh, let me think about that. Can I get back to you? I was like, nah, does Billy Graham have a quiet time? Yeah, I'm going to the Potter's house. Let's do it. Let's go. And I didn't even have a signal, but God got the phone call through me. So why I brought Sabrina so that she could dance. She was dancing in those days, and I'm on stage. You've probably seen that stage on TV. Huge, you know. So I'm singing this song. I need to start singing this song again because it's called He Has Forgiven Me. My sin has been washed from his memories by the blood of the Lamb of Calvary. He has forgiven me. Well, she comes out in this black. Thanks for that one applause. Yeah, it came out covered in black. But during the song, she takes the black off and dumps it at the altar. And she's got this beautiful red sequins gown that she dances in, covered by the blood. And then she has this scarf thing that she's going to, nice to have you back. She's just going all over the place with this thing. And at the end of the song, she takes this blood, the red scarf, and covers the pile of black at the end. Now, during this whole thing, I'm singing this song, and I'm going after it. And I go this way, and I take a peek at the front row, and Michael Irvin and Deion Sanders are sitting on the front row. So I'm saying, and they were elbowing each other. That guy's good. Yeah, that guy's good. That guy's good. I think they like my wife dancing more than anything. But So Sabrina, see, some of you guys have heard this story before, but a lot of these people haven't heard, so I got to tell it. So Sabrina's coming this way with her scarf. I'm this way. Singing. And I look down, and I get energized because I see Michael Irvin and Deion Sanders. So I'm like, he has forgiven me. And I take this turn. And she's right there. I went, baby, Michael Irvin's on the front row. She's, you know, it's national TV. You know what she said to me? She took her veil up around her face. Shut up. I think she said something else, but I'm not going to say that. I was going to come back into the song, show some respect for your husband. No, she was like, shut up. It's national TV, stupid. Jake's is sitting right there. We're trying to do something good. So here's the thing. I finished the song, And I walk to the back, and the service is over. I'm walking around the back, and all of a sudden a hand lands on this shoulder, and it's like palming a ball. You probably put Spalding across my forehead, like that. Spun me around, and it was Michael Irvin. He came after me, and he said these very profound thing to me. It's very profound. It's amazing. He said, "You can sing, little white man." You can sing, little white man. So, man full of faith and power, I just stood there and I went. And I pulled out a receipt out of my bag, and he signed it, Michael Irvin, Playmaker. And I started to walk away. He said, "No, man, sit down, let's talk." And I was like, okay. You know, I was manly about it. Sat there and we talked Miami Hurricanes football. We talked all these. And, you know, for about 20 minutes, his Super Bowl rings on, fine suit, you know, cost as much as this building. It was nice. It was a nice suit. I told him, "You look like you could still play." He goes, "Trust me, it's all looks." Later in the hotel, I'm just going over and I'm like, "Lord, that was so awesome." And the Lord spoke to me and says, "But do you see the lesson, son? I gave you this as a desire to get the lesson. What's the lesson? What's the takeaway?" See, I'm writing a book right now. What's the takeaway? What's the lesson? What's the takeaway? Yeah, ask and be given. I just want it, but I never really asked the Lord, "Lord, I want to meet Michael Irvin." And God always, let me remind you, he always goes over and above. He always goes over and above. The Lord said, "You had fences and guards between something that you wanted. But as you have done and obeyed my word, that which you were restricted from being able to get turned around and came after you." Wow. Yes. Yes. Why am I telling you this story? Because I guarantee you there is something in your life that you're looking for. There's something that you need the Lord to be able to do. There's some, maybe not in this section. Over here, there's something, there's a dream. There's something that God's put inside your heart, and it's from Him. But you have to understand, don't get under the pressure that you're the one that has to make it happen. You're the one that has to obey Him. You have to obey Him. Years ago, Gracie Bell, she's going to be 7 in January. Let me take this thing off because I'm in Arizona. I wear this place thing in hot weather. This is a jacket that Buck Rambo gave me. So if it looks a little big on it, deal with it. He was a big man, so he gave it to me right before he died. He goes, "You know that blue jacket that you like?" And I was like, "Yeah, but." He said, "You take that. You wear it." So that's Buck Rambo's from the Rambo. You don't know that? He's the father of John Rambo, the guy that was blowing everybody away in those movies. Now, gospel music, gospel singer, amazing. But the Lord said, "What's the takeaway? That I'm going to get you through any obstacle to get what I have for you." Has anybody here got an obstacle? Has anybody got that? You might have a sick child. You might have a sick self. You might have, but the word says that you're healed. We got to get on the right side of how things are working. Got to get on the right side of how things are working. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, so over the next 3 hours, inside my jacket is, inside in the pocket, see, I need my jacket now, is a booklet. Can you bring that to me? Yeah, Almanac Sports. Yeah. I want to read this scripture to you, and I'm probably not going to get through, but what the Lord specifically spoke to me this morning was, remind them of the blessing. Remind them of what I've said. Remind them of how things work. Because I've gotten reminded. Because when you're in the midst, Vince Lombardi, I'm a football guy, when things would go wrong with the Green Bay Packers, he would take them back to practice and go, "Gentlemen, this is a football." "Gentlemen, this is a football. Gentlemen, this is the Bible. Gentlemen, this is the scripture. Gentlemen, this is how things work." To try to go against it makes absolutely no sense because it is the Word of God. Okay? Now, faith begins. If anybody says I'm a great teacher, it's because I listen to great teachers. Amen. and it comes in my spirit and it becomes a part of me, and I see it work, not only in my life, but then I see my kids, when your kids, my wife and my kids start to grab a hold of things. It's amazing when you see your kids start, because you don't have, guess what, you got to be 21 to drink, but not in the kingdom. You can get drunk at 5 in church. The Spirit of God come upon you. Act a little weird. You might laugh. And then the religious people are like, what are you laughing about? Salvation, dummy. We're excited. Yeah. We're excited about being delivered. We're excited about not having to pay for our sins. We're excited that the losses of the previous season are coming back. The losses of your previous season are coming back. Amen. Just so he can show himself strong. Amen. 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence. Faith begins where the will of God is known. I wanted to say that. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Is everybody with me? And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. Amen? Now, don't just write these down, because I got to go through them. It's Numbers 6:22-27. It's the priestly blessing. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. The translation from 24-26. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Ever heard that before? Of course you've heard that before. But it's translated in English. I have a friend of mine named Warren M. Marcus. He is the executive producer of the Sid Roth Show. Have you ever watched it's, you know, Supernatural? And we did a show together, and he showed me this book, and it's called The Ancient Priestly Prayer of the Blessing. Now remember, faith begins where the will of God is known. So once you know that God has something for you, you can act upon it. Because true belief of the Word of God is not that you tell me that you believe it. It's that you act upon it. When you act upon the Word, you believe the Word. Amen? So then, this is a law, guys. You can't get outside of it. I'm going to get some of you out of your spiritual mud where you've been stuck. Amen? Amen. Because you're like reading scriptures and you're thinking things and you're believing things. The problem is that you got to say things 3 times as more as you believe it. Where do you get that? I'll tell you later. But it's scriptural. Your miracle is in your mouth. What you believe on the inside and you act upon, the primary activating process of what you believe. Oh, God, are you one of those naming and claiming people? Absolutely. Walk in it every day. Have seen it every day. Watch my kids. Now, not the weird, twisted stuff sometimes that you see. I'm talking about what the Word says. And see, the devil will try to pervert things out here so that you will throw away what is happening in this Word. And you disregard it. And what's the old saying? You throw the baby out with. Get rid of the bathwater. Keep the child. That's a law. Or child services will come after you. That's how it works. So Warren read this in English, but he says, do you have any idea, Tim, what it really says in Hebrew? And I said, Warren, no, I have no idea. No, no clue. He said, if you don't know it, then you can't believe God for it. I love it when you're here because you, Do you know Sabrina does that same thing?
She does.
And I'll turn around and said, you sound just like. She goes, well, I was there since I was a kid.
Sorry.
No, those are, I love, Those are old, a holy, Amen. So I'm gonna read you this. I read this on the bus in Israel every time. We had 30 people that went to Israel with us, and we got on that bus every morning. I would read this every morning. It's the blessing. And at the end, our Jewish guide, he would look at me and go, there's nothing left to be said. I'm done, man. Get off. Go to the hotel. There's nothing left to be said. This is the blessing. And because of Christ being an heir to Abraham, everything in here, you are an heir to. Everything. Everything you are an heir to. Look at somebody right now and say, I'm an heir. I'm an heir. Hallelujah. I'm an heir. So we read this. Let me read this, and I want you to see that this is for you. The Lord bless you. May Jehovah Yahweh, he who exists, kneel before you, presenting you gifts, and keep you. May Jehovah Yahweh, he who exists, guard me with a hedge of thorny protection that will prevent Satan and all my enemies from harming me. May he protect my body, soul, mind, spirit, my loved ones, and all my possessions, all your stuff. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. May Jehovah Yahweh, he who exists, illuminate the wholeness of his being toward me, continually bringing order so that I will fulfill my God-given destiny and purpose. And be gracious to you. Man, I'm chilly up here. It's not because I lost my coat. May Jehovah Yahweh, he who exists, provide me with perfect love and fellowship, never leaving me and giving me sustenance, provision, and friendship. The Lord lift his countenance on you. May Jehovah Yahweh, he who exists, lift up and carry his wholeness of being toward me, bringing everything that he is to my aid, supporting me with his entire being, and give you peace. And may Jehovah Yahweh, he who exists, set in place all I need to be whole and complete, so I can walk in victory moment by moment by the power of the Holy Spirit. May he give me supernatural health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Yeah, I did. Prosperity. Deal with it. Perfection, fullness, rest, harmony, as well as the absence of agitation and discord. There is nothing left to be said. Everything, and this, yeah, clap, because I just talked about you. Pastor Eric said I could go all day, so just put your seatbelts on. Oops. Like I said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. I just read his will to you. That's in the Old Testament. Now we got on this side of the cross. Woo, baby. Things just got oiled up, and now we're grease lightning. But you have to know it. To be able to put your card in to get some money out, you've got to do what? You got to know the code. And this is the code. This is the confidence that you need to have. Amen? In Genesis 1:28, it says the very first thing that God said, or the very first thing that he did towards mankind, it says, and God blessed them. The blessing works from the inside out. If the outside must be great for you to be happy, then we're operating in the flesh. See, a real Christian can have things just absolutely going haywire on the outside, and it's a strain, but yet there is a happiness on the inside because the kingdom of God comes from within. It doesn't matter what's going on the outside because joy is your strength. We talked about that. The kingdom is within you. The power of the unseen realm, I love this, is within you. We all come from the unseen. Do you understand that? We all come from the unseen. The unseen realm is more powerful and more real than this one, because this one would not exist without the unseen realm. What did Paul say in 2 Corinthians 4:18? While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So if we're looking for significance and substance from what we see, then we're going to be disappointed and hurt. Have you ever seen that thing where somebody looks at you in a situation, I just can't see that. I can't see that. Yeah, don't worry. You're in the breeding grounds for miracles. Amen? Your dream might be in the tomb. It might be there second day. It might be the third day. It might be the fourth day, and you keep messing over with it. But God said. Why was Abraham willing to put him on the table? Because promises, is anything too hard for the Lord? Abraham was able to put him on the table, Isaac, because he knew that he took him out, that God would raise him back from the dead to fulfill the promises that were on him, right? Because we're word people. Are you word people here today? We believe the word. Amen? The things that he has said, he will do. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You got to believe, you got to operate in faith, knowing that he is going to do what he said he was going to do. That he doesn't know how to fail. Glory to God. He doesn't know how to fail. It's not possible for him to fall short in your life. But we're learning today how to not hold him back. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. So to manifest substance, we got to go back to faith. To manifest substance. So to manifest what you need, we got to go back to faith. It's the substance from the source. But substance mixed with the word starts to produce the seen from the unseen. Where's that in the Bible? Genesis. The Spirit of God was brooding over this dark, barren, watery rock. Spirit of God was there, but nothing was happening. Spirit of God is brooding over this place. He's brooding over your life. He said he would never leave you nor forsake you. So he's there. Then why aren't certain things happening? Because there's another side to the story. When the Father said, into that realm, into that place, into the Spirit, light be. Then the Spirit, the mixture, that brooding Spirit, there was like that seed that went into that brooding. And all of a sudden, light, boom, and creation started right there. Do you understand it's the same thing in your life? You gotta speak what the Word says about any situation that you're facing. It's a job situation, problem situation, whatever it is. You got to speak that word. Now, don't tell me that people don't speak. I've watched people work in their house. I've watched maybe a wrench fall and hit your hand. I've watched people work on a car, and then they look at the thing and go, stupid car. Stupid motor. Oh, my favorite is the cell phone. I will throw you. I will absolutely throw you if you do not download my notes for this sermon. And see, people have this hard thing about what we're speaking. Yeah, it's in the Word. It's what you say. And the devil tries to get you to speak to mess up a situation. He'll try to get you to say things. Oh, that stupid thing, or that dumb thing, or that thing won't work, or this phone, or this thing, or that bill will never get paid, or we'll never pay that bill. We'll never get that. You're busy speaking that stuff. Why not just use that energy and shut yourself up? Sabrina and I call it the vocabulary of silence. Because if you got nothing good to say, shut up. Just shut up. So there's a lot of times when Sabrina and I are going down the road. Don't tell me y'all don't have marital problems sometimes. We're going down the road. She sees things one way. I see things another. I know the grace of God because I've come into the house lit just being mad. And I'm the preacher. I know the grace of God. Because he still helped us to have a wonderful service. Because it's not about me. It's about the work and, you know, the Holy Spirit. But we don't talk. After a while, you just look at each other and start laughing. Vocabulary silence. Because I don't want to say anything. Because words are important. Amen? Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. Now, here's a scripture. I'm not going to be able to get through all that. I want to tell you a couple of stories just to build your faith. Romans 5:2-3. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have access by faith. Now, I just sang a Christmas song. I absolutely love Christmas. So this is how I get it. Grace is Santa's bag. It's full of presents. It's full of your stuff. Everything for you was placed in that area of grace. What is God's grace? Not just unmerited favor. It is his ability. Paul said to the Philippians, because you have given to our ministry, my grace is being imparted to you. There's some of my ability that comes up. Kenneth Copeland got real excited when he was a kid because Oral Roberts said, hey, if you partner with my ministry at $10 a month, then you're going to be a partaker of my grace. Copeland got really excited. He was like, $10? Wait a minute, I don't have 10 bucks. So he wrote it out on a note and put it in the offering. I mean, he's just a kid. And then there was a lady three seats behind, went, pss, 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 kid. She turned around and she goes, God's been telling me to give you $10, the whole service. And he's like, well, I haven't now. So he grabbed the $10, took his note out of the offering, put the real one in, and he said that's when things started to change because some of the ability on his ministry transferred over to them because they were supportive. They were doing something, you know? So grace is ability, your ability to be able to accomplish everything that God has called you to do. Now, how do you get in the bag? How do you get cookies out of the cookie jar? With your hand. Faith. By faith. We have access by faith into this grace. So by faith, how do you do that? You believe God. You believe him, what he has said in his word. It's like, Lord, you've given me this dream. You've given me this ministry. I imagine the faith that you had to walk in after following those two, being given this place. But you had to realize that it wasn't on your shoulders because the government's on his. But you were called to do this. The thing you have to do is turn around with the assignment and give it right back to God in childlike faith, realizing that everything that you need has been set aside in your bag. Everything you need has been set aside to be able. So if you need finances for a certain thing, I've got a document that has all these scriptures and things on it. I put the exact number. It's like some of you probably work for companies that say, well, I need a PO for that. Well, it's my kingdom PO. I put it in. I said, Lord, I got this in my heavenly account. I know I do. And it has a lot of these scriptures on there. And we did this just a few weeks ago and had somebody send a check out of nowhere for the exact amount. And I forgot that I had written that amount on that thing. Wow. And I looked at it, and then I was going through some notes, and the Lord was like, hey, I did the PO that you put in, the purchase order. I did it. You've been given. You've been sown. Remember, I can harvest because I've planted. I know that's difficult. I know that's deep. But yet, use your faith to get it. We were on the road. We left everything in April 9th of 2018. I'm going to keep this short. We left everything. We left our house at the word of the Lord. We put things in storage. We sold things. And Sabrina and I hit the road with our kids, really not knowing where we were going. You ever heard of that before? We got out there, and supernaturally, we stepped into another season. All of a sudden, our schedule filled up. All of a sudden, all these different things started to happen. And it was magnanimous to actually see all of these scriptures come to pass. And I noticed that something happened. Our first meeting, we did have a meeting when we left our home in South Carolina. And it was for one day. That went on for a week. Pastor was just like, oh my gosh, can you stay? And I was like, I got nowhere to go. Yeah, sure, we'll stay. So we went on through that, just miracle. And I found this out. I was like, Lord, where has this been? He goes, it's on the other end of obedience. See, if you want to be able to see it, everything's in the unseen realm. Some of you are not going to get this, but I'm not here for all of you. I'm here for people that are ready for this. And that's no condemnation. It might take another year being under his tutelage and under the word for you. Actually, the next time I come back, I won't be speaking Chinese. But some of you are ready to hear this. It's like when I go to a youth group, the best way I disarm them with them sitting there going, what's this guy going to say? I'm not here for most of you. I'm here for the one. I'm here for the one. Because I was the one. That when the guy was speaking, I was telling everybody, shut up. I'm trying to hear what this guy's saying. Seeing the manifest, I believed the word as a kid. I knew it was something. I knew it was something would work. I'd seen the Lord do some miraculous things as I just believed God for something. I remember one time my dad's boss came in and canceled a vacation that our family. He said, "Carl, I'm sorry. I got to cancel your vacation. I need you here during this time." And man, we were looking forward to it. And he called home and said, "I'm sorry, guys." Well, I was 12 at the time, and I had just read that whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it. I just read that, and I was like, no problem. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it. I want to go on vacation. And I didn't know anything about confession. I don't know about speaking it. I didn't know anything about that. The verse above it says, speak to your mountain. Speak to it. And it talks about saying in that scripture, if you say, and then you say to the mountain, and you say and you believe in your heart. That's where I was talking about. It says three, says say three times and believe once. So I was like, I believe it. Now the rest of the time, I'm going to speak what's in my heart. I'm going to speak what the word says about a situation, even though it looks totally opposite of what I'm seeing. But according to my word, my Bible, I don't go by what is seen. A lot of you jacked up because you're going by what you see. Go watch The Matrix or something. You can't go by what you see. Not until you're 30, because there's some other things in there. But anyway, you preached on The Matrix one time, didn't you? Yeah, you did. So it's his fault. I heard him. You can't go by what you see. You got to go by what the word says. Well, I feel sick. No, I understand that. That is a fact that you feel the pain that you feel. This is my little twist. It is a fact that you can't get pregnant, right? That's a fact. Amen. That's an earthly fact. Maybe you can't get pregnant. Maybe your finances are in the toilet. Maybe this, maybe that. Because I'm tired of people going around going, you know, Reba was ministering to people, one of my mentors, she was ministering to people, and this girl came up in the line. She goes, "I don't have a headache. I don't have a headache. I don't have a headache. I don't have a headache." And Reba goes, "What are you here for?" She goes, "I got a really bad headache." You're sitting there saying you don't have a headache. It's not calling those things that are as though they're not. Yeah. It's calling those things that are not as though they were.
Yes, that's right.
Let's get on the right side of how things work. So how this whole thing is, you don't deny the fact of what's going on. You don't have to be weird. Yeah. There's a fact in the earth.
Amen.
But the truth is what the word says. Yeah, the fact is, I may not feel this way, and I may not feel all that good, and my back's still hurting. But the word says about this. I may not have the finances right now, and it may look really bleak. This is where you guys in marriage, I've had to learn this. You cannot get into fear. You can't fight with each other or start running. Well, if you just would have worked hard and taken that second shift instead of going fishing all the time, we would have. No. You lay hands together on your checkbooks. You lay hands on your document. You lay hands on those billing statements. You lay hands on those things, and you start speaking what the Word of God says about your situation. And go to another level. And you stay there. And you refuse to come off of what this Word says. He said He'd never leave it nor forsake you. Well, you determine that you're not going to leave it or forsake it either. Now, here's the thing. My kids actually believe this. While we were in California one time, we had a house that had been provided for us on this trip, supernaturally. Beautiful place. Place had a tent, had a basketball court, had a koi pond, had a pool, had a bar that was not alcoholic drinks, and bar outside by the pool with a TV outside the pool where you could watch while you were in the pool. It was really an amazing place that the Lord provided for us. Now, Max was in a school at that time, and my son's 14, is going to be 15. Can you believe that? He's getting a driver's license. 15. God help me. See, I'm speaking to things now. He was supposed to have a birthday party. God had opened up for him to go to a Christian school out there along with his sisters, full scholarship. It was at a church that we had been ministering at, and they knew that we homeschooled, but they're like, "You guys are here. Why don't you just let them come into the school?" And so they were there for an entire semester while we ministered throughout California. And so we had this birthday party. He had about 15 kids that were supposed to come up to his party. Now, it's always beautiful in Southern California. Just hang with me for a few minutes. How many people give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. Okay, I'm good. I got plenty of time. Tucked it in my pocket. I'm good. But this is important, okay? This is important. I'm not going to try to, you know, give you the whole load today. I want you to get something that you can walk out with and that you and your wife or your wife and you can actually put to work. I mean later today. Have a meeting and go, we've been doing things wrong. I'm sorry for all the stuff that I've been saying to you, putting you under condemnation. Because according to the word, there is no condemnation. So I'm sorry. Put a period at the end of it and then start over again on the word. We're going to do things on the word. We're going to do it how the word says to do it. We're going to do it. And this is the confidence. I already read to you. You can go to warrenmmarcus.com or .org. Warren, M as in Mickey Mouse, Marcus.com. And you can order that little book. Or you can go on and just download. Paul Wilbur has this beautiful thing where he sings that thing in Hebrew. And it just keeps on repeating for like 6 minutes. And there's just a blessing that happens. Coincidentally, the high priest would always do this during the blessing when it was spoken. What do you get when you take half the fingers away, half hand away? Live long and prosper. Any Trekkies in the building? Guess where it came from? Leonard Nimoy's little Jewish kid. When he was developing the character for Spock, they said, we need some kind of a greeting. We need some kind of a thing. He grew up in synagogue, and you're never supposed to look at the priest when he said this. Of course, they don't have a high priest, but they had a rabbi, and he'd always bow. But he was an ornery little kid, and he would raise his hand. And he'd see them doing like this, meaning El Shaddai or Shekinah glory and all that kind of stuff. So when they asked him, hey, what's kind of a greeting? He went, live long and prosper. So I love it. Every time Star Trek's on, the priestly blessing. No wonder it's been revived so many times. No wonder they can't get rid of those movies. Live long and prosper. As far as I'm concerned, walk into the church. Hey, live long and prosper. It's a part of the word. I've read you. So get that. Meditate on what the word is saying. So Max is trying to have this birthday party. Every other day, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous in Southern California. We wake up that day, and I had an early men's breakfast that I was ministering at, and it was rainy. And it was cold, and I was like, where are we? It was ridiculous. And I'm ministering at the, and I've got a father's heart, and I'm going, God, Max is an amazing kid. He believes you. We got 15 kids coming up there that really enjoy this beautiful property that's been loaned to us for this time. And what's the deal? What's the deal? And I could just hear God laughing at me. Again, I was like, Father, what are you laughing at? This is serious. See, God deals with me weird. He just laugh at me sometimes. I can hear it right in there. Because he who sits on the throne laughs. I'm like, come on. I'm driving back up the mountain. You can't see the mountain. I get to our house, and on the front door is written in my son's handwriting, this. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, it's 14, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. I'm peeved. I'm mad at God. Can I just be honest with you? Don't tell me you don't ever get to that place. Situation doesn't work the way you're wanting it to work out, and you're just all, well, praise the Lord. Not on that time. I was a father who wanted to see a good thing happen for his son. It didn't look. I was busy in the physical. I was busy in what I could see. But my son took the teachings that he had heard from us, and he wrote those scriptures and put them and taped them to the front door. Rainy, 40 degrees. And so I walk in. Sabrina has got tears. She's like, what are we going to do? We got 15. Let's take him to Chuck E. Cheese. We'll take everybody. Forget Chuck E. Cheese. Let's go to the bounce park. We'll take everybody to the bounce. And Max walks in and goes, what's the problem? I said, well, look at the weather. We got all these kids coming over, everything. He goes, it's not a problem. I don't bend to the weather. The weather bends to me.
Come on.
And I looked at him and I said, where do you get this stuff? Because he's seen it time after time after time after time. And he start, and then the lady who's a very wealthy lady who had this beautiful guest house thing that she let us, she's just a prophetic lady. It was a miracle how God connected us, gave us a place out in California when we needed it. I mean, it's just incredible place. She's from Puerto Rico, so everything is Judas and Judat. Jew need to come over and see me. Jew need to come and be with me. I want to take her to Israel. She's going to Israel with me, matter of fact. I told her, I said, I just want you to be able to go, hey, Jew doing very well. I am a Jew, lady. Yeah, that's what I said. Jew doing very well. You get it? Jew need to come over here, and Jew need to come here. She comes knocking on the door later, and she goes, this morning early when it was very cold, I saw Max walking around like this, and he was talking. I couldn't hear what he was saying, but he was talking. She goes, now I know. We went down, and when Max spoke these words to me, I don't bend to the weather bends to me. I was just like, okay, I'm not raining on this parade. Because I looked outside and the rain stopped. Still cold and looked miserable. But I said, okay, there's a lot of towels. Let's go get towels and let's start drying off. Take that thing and start scraping the water off of the basketball court. Because action shows that you believe the word, not sitting on the couch. I think it's praying. I wonder if the angels are going to come and start drying off the court. No, little action. So I said, we went out, we got towels. And all of a sudden, you know, the prophet said, I see a cloud in the sky the size of a man's hand. I went around the house and I looked and I saw blue the size of a man's hand off in the distance. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then we started, and Sabrina comes out and goes, what are you all doing? I said, if they plant seed when there is no rain, then we're going to dry this thing off because the rain has stopped, and I'm expecting.
Yeah.
And man, I had to go and start picking people up by faith and bringing them up. I've got pictures. I got pictures. I watched the clouds just move and move and move and go. It was amazing, folks. I've been walking with God for a long time. This was amazing to me. And the thing, I'm sitting there at the bar later, I'm kind of wore out emotionally. I had like a Coke or something in my hand, and I was watching the NFL Network, and Max comes up, puts his arm around me, says, Dad, what an amazing day. We had to take our coats off because it got too warm.
Wow.
And they're playing, and they're using all the different things. And he came up, and he said, Dad, thank you. I didn't do anything. It's like a bubbling idiot like I am now. I'm not an idiot, but I'm bubbling. And he said, thanks for teaching me the laws of faith. Because this was just a birthday party. And God let it happen for a birthday party so that I can see how to use it in the future. There's one time, I'm going to tell you, if you got to go, go. I'm going to tell you this story. We were on the road, the same thing. We came into a weekend, and we didn't hardly have any money. I mean, we just every day you're eating. Have you ever fed four people three times a day in a restaurant? And Monday was a bank holiday, so it didn't matter what the church was going to give us on Sunday. We were going to go on a fast on Monday. We needed some money, so I got the kids together, and I don't hide our needs from the kids because then they can't party with you when God comes through. It doesn't build their faith. So I got them around. I said, okay, one of our favorite scriptures, we know that God is able to provide with all sufficiency. Paul talked about that. Then we have this scripture, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it. I said, let's put in another PO for $500. We don't need a $500 check because the banks are going to be closed. We need cash. And this was a church we'd never been to before in Livermore, California. They called us and they said, hey, we want to take you to this restaurant. I said, fine, great. Never met these people before. This lady sat down and she was really kind of wild. Like, she's like you. She's just wild. You never know what you're going to get. And she sat down, she looked at her menu and she goes like this. She goes, now remember, we did this on Friday where we prayed and believed This was on Saturday. We're looking at our menus and stuff, and all of a sudden she goes, oh, you know what? I forgot. On the way to the restaurant, I hope this doesn't offend you guys. I was just like, come on, offend me. Because I was sensing something good coming. And she goes, on the way to the restaurant, the Lord put it on my heart to stop by the ATM and pull out $500 cash.
Oh, come on.
So here's $100 for Gracie Bell, and here's $100 for Giselle, and cash. Here's $100 for Max, and here's $100 for Jen, and here's $100 for you. And my kid, you remember that What's Up commercial? You remember that What's Up? And my kids were looking at me like, What's Up? Look at that, Dad. Look at that. And the pastor's wife's like, what happened? And I told her the story, and she was blessed that she could hear the voice of God to be able to bring that provision in. We saw when we stepped into that next season. So here's what I'm going to declare to you, Shiloh, prophetically. You are on the precipice and the beginning of your next season.